Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Danielle Kading of WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, we've had a few conversations with John Coe of CHUM, the area's largest homeless shelter, about impromptu or unofficial shelters that have sprung up, including under a bridge in Superior. The city of Duluth has adopted a new policy toward them.
Yes, it has. Homeless people soon could have an outdoor living space to temporarily call home. The Duluth City Council voted Monday night to offer an interim use permit authorizing local nonprofits to operate outdoor living areas where displaced people can set up camp on a seasonal basis. Joel Kilgore, an organizer for a local initiative to address homelessness, said the group hopes to establish up to 4 outdoor living areas, each housing no more than a dozen people, on private land and likely in partnership with Duluth faith congregations. The effort to provide temporary relief to people experiencing homelessness has been dubbed Stepping On Up. And Kilgore said the outdoor living spaces are a recognition of unauthorized homeless encampments that often spring up across the city. Often city officials are called in to break up these makeshift shelters and are saddled with the cost of cleaning up after them. By creating alternative safer sites with amenities such as restrooms, water, garbage disposal, sharps containers, and access to support services, the city expects it can reduce the amount it spends dealing with the fallout from homeless encampments. The city is prepared to offer 1-year permits to nonprofits willing to set up and supervise outdoor living spaces for homeless people. Duluth has also set aside $150,000 in federal American Rescue Act funds to help provide needed infrastructure to support the outdoor living spaces. So far, though, no entity has yet applied for a permit, but Kilgore remains confident Duluth will rise to the challenge. He explained that the outdoor living spaces would likely operate for no more than 3 years, until such time as more adequate temporary indoor housing can be built and then ultimately replaced with more permanent private living quarters with shared communal spaces. Kilgore said, "This is experimental for all of us. A lot of other communities have tried this out, and we're learning the best we can from them." While no one has an exact count on how many people are currently homeless in Duluth, Kilgore said that number is clearly in the hundreds and far exceeds the capacity for local shelters. He said the outdoor living areas would close during winter months when such a shelter would be neither adequate or safe.
All right. Well, we noted recently that there's a lot of music concerts now that the pandemic has subsided a bit, or people just want to go out. And there's a really big one at Bayfront this weekend.
Yes, there is. The organization Honor the Earth has been holding concerts to raise funds and awareness since its founding nearly 3 decades ago. The last year's event in Bayfront Festival Park drew national attention due to the participation of headliner Bon Iver and the impending completion of Enbridge's Line 3 replacement through Minnesota. This year, organizers are hoping to build on that momentum with another high-profile lineup, including Annie DeFranco, Indigo Girls, Dessa, Tia Wood, Galen Lee, Allison Russell, Ann Humphrey, and Joe Rainey Sr. The Sunday festival will also mark Lowe's first performance since canceling a string of European shows while founding member Minnie Parker undergoes cancer treatment. Winona LaDuke, who co-founded Honor the Earth with Indigo Girls in 1993, will again host.
All right. Well, those names need no introduction. And Galen Lee, being one of them, will be joining us on the show in a couple of weeks. The Duluth School District has kicked off the year with a new program designed, I think, to bring everyone together.
Yes, it has. As a new school year approaches, a Duluth Back to School event sought to bridge the city's east-west divide. Duluth Public School administrators hosted the inaugural Unity in Our Community get-together on Monday at Bayfront Festival Park. The festivities included a DJ, bouncy house, backpack giveaways, free haircuts and braids, free lunches, and a COVID-19 vaccine clinic. And there were performances by the Denfield High School Jazz Rhythm Section and the School of Minnesota Ballet. Attendees also had the opportunity to soak Superintendent John Magus in a dunk tank or munch on barbecue grilled by Assistant Superintendent Anthony Bonds. Magus said that we have many schools, but we're one school district. It's all about celebrating coming back and being together. Several regional and district organizations participated as well, including the Great Lakes Aquarium, the Duluth Children's Museum, and the district's Educational Equality Office and high school robotics teams. About 1,000 people took part in the event. The first day of classes for Duluth Public Schools in grades 1 through 12 is Tuesday, September 6th, and for kindergartners is Thursday, September 8th.
All right. Well, Danny, the Superior School District also has a new program, this one related to student safety. It comes on the heels of contention over the gender identity curriculum, which was ultimately approved by the district last week. What's the new program?
So the program was actually something that was in the works prior to that decision. And under the program, law enforcement will notify school officials at the Superior School District when they've responded to an emergency involving a student or the student's family. And the program is called Handle with Care. And under it, police agencies send notice to school administrators, counselors, or social workers to let them know when a student has had contact with law enforcement. And those encounters may involve a domestic dispute, a mental health crisis, a fire, or some other event that, you know, could affect the student when they return to school. And law enforcement doesn't share specific details of any incident. Superior School District Administrator Amy Starzecki said the goal is to provide grace to students who may be overly tired or irritable or withdrawn and struggling to focus on school when these types of situations arise. And so the district worked with the Superior Police Department and Douglas County Sheriff's Office over the summer on a plan for the school year. And as part of it, police will notify her office of any encounters, and then the student's counselor and principal will be made aware to handle that student with care. Starzecki said she's worked with the program before in Duluth schools. Other schools in Wisconsin have also been using this program, including the La Crosse district.
All right. And speaking of kids, and I'm not talking about school kids, the other kind, do I hear goats?
Yeah, no kidding, Robin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now using goats to control invasive plants for the first time on the Brule River State Forest. The agency is partnering on the $7,500 project with Jake Reno Williams and his wife Bridget in Poplar. They own Regenerative Ruminants, and they've been bringing in a herd of roughly 30 to 35 goats to graze on buckthorn across roughly 5 acres there. And the DNR's forest manager, Dan Kephart, says the forest has had a problem with buckthorn for a long time. The woody invasive shrub can crowd out other native trees to the forest, like white pine, ash, and balsam. And so the DNR has used herbicides and mowing in the past to control buckthorn, but this year is the first time that they've used goats, and they're pretty good at eating everything within reach, according to their owners. The DNR will bring the goats back again next spring, and then they'll evaluate the site over time to determine whether they're most effective at reducing invasive species there. And it's not the first time that the DNR has used goats to control invasive species. The agency has also used goats on state properties like Governor Knowles State Forest.
All right. Well, all kidding aside, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. On next week's show, we'll join Shane Nelson, one of our frequent musical guests, to remember Zach Ross, the longtime drummer in his group Crescent Moon, who was lost at age 28 in a car accident a little over a month ago. Here's a bit of their music. I'm Robin Washington. Please stay safe, everyone.